Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Well, there's this one day where a police officer saw someone speeding down the road, and so he pulled him over to the side of the road and walked up and tapped on the window. And the driver of the car, he rolled down the window, and officer said, you know, the usual thing, license and registration, please. So the driver said, well, I don't have a driver's license because it's, it was taken away. It's no longer valid. And there's no registration either because, you know, I stole the vehicle. And he quickly jumped in there and he said, you know what? No, actually, I think I did see the registration for the vehicle in the glove box when I put my gun in there. Now, the police officer was a little bit taken aback, and he said, you've got a gun? Oh, yes, sir, I do. Yeah, I put it in there after I robbed the bank and threw the money in the trunk of the car. Well, the police officer has his gun out, and it's just trained on this guy as he's calling for backup. 2 minutes flat, all these squad cars are in the area. They're surrounding him. They've got their guns out, and the captain of the squad gets out of one car, and he walks up to the window while everyone's pointing their guns at this guy, and he says, do you have any identification? Well, yes, officer, of course I do. And he hands him a valid driver's license. Okay. Well, can I see the registration? Slowly, please, slowly. Let's see it. And so he slowly reaches into the glove box and pulls out a valid registration. And the captain kind of looks over, and there's no gun in the glove box. And he's really confused now. And so he tells the guy, well, get out of the car very slowly. And I want you to open that trunk for me. Okay. And so driver walks over and he slowly opens the trunk of the car. The only thing in there is the spare tire. And the captain is just, his mind is blown. He says, listen, I don't understand what's going on. The police officer that called all of this in, he said that you didn't have a valid driver's license, that you'd stolen the car, that you'd robbed a bank, he had a gun, you were doing all this stuff. I'm so confused. And the driver looks at the captain and he says, yeah, and I bet you he told you that I was speeding too. Sometimes truth feels a little bit relative, doesn't it? Sometimes we think that it's okay to bend it just a little bit, especially if it works out well for us. I have a question for you. What is truth? What is truth? What does it mean to say something that's true? Or what does it mean to believe something that's true? Nowadays, many people will say, well, you know, truth is relative. Truth is personal. There's no absolute truth. Whatever you believe is good for you and whatever I believe is good for me. And as long as you don't say that what I believe is wrong, you're right and I'm right and we're all good. And as Canadians, this sounds awesome because we like to get along and we like to not offend one another, don't we? And so if they can be happy believing what they believe, and we say that it's true, and they let us believe what we say and think is true, then it all seems fine. The problem is in the very statement of saying that there's no such thing as absolute truth, you've broken your own rule. Let me add a word in there to bring across to you how ludicrous this is. There is absolutely no such thing as absolute truth. In the very statement of saying that there's no such thing as absolute truth, you have actually said that there is an absolute truth, that there is no absolute truth. It doesn't work. There has to be an absolute truth. Now, the question is, we all have differing opinions. We all come from different backgrounds and different viewpoints. And so how do we determine what is true? Because, you know, I believe wholeheartedly that there is a truth. One central, one grand truth. And yes, as people, as human beings, we only get to see a slice of that, don't we? Some people, they grow up over here and they see that big truth this way. Some people, they're over here and they see this part of it all. And so we'll argue and we'll say, no, it's this or no, it's that. But in the end, what is the determining factor for what is true? How do we know who's right? I'm going to talk about some things today that if you're here and you're not a believer in Jesus, you don't follow him, and maybe you were dragged here against your will, or you decided to come willingly and listen, whatever it is, I want you to know that that we here as Christ followers, as Jesus followers, believe that the Bible is the source of absolute truth. I understand if you don't believe that too. And I want to let you know that as I talk about the Bible as absolute truth here today, that if that upsets you, that offends you, and you're just like, I can't listen to this anymore, you have my permission to just go ahead and get up, and you can leave if you need to. But I really hope that you'll lean in today and that you will listen to what we have to share with you. Because I think that it's important. See, we believe as Christians that the Bible is the inspired words of God, that God spoke to the people who wrote these words in these pages, and that he shares with us through those words who he is. That he shares with us through those words his design for all the world and for us as human beings. We believe that as the Bible in the New Testament talks about Jesus, that Jesus further reveals who God is, because Jesus is God taken human flesh. He is the Son of God, fully God, fully man, all at once. It's a confusing thing. We try to wrap our minds around it, and we have difficulty with it, but the fact of the matter is the Bible tells us who God is. It tells us truth, and in Jesus that truth is revealed, but that truth offends people. Who God is upsets them. For starters, the Bible tells us that the only way to find eternal life is through a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. That there is no other way. Now, when you say that to someone, and if they don't believe that, you've just broken the cardinal rule of no absolute truth. Because you've just said that you're wrong and I'm right. And yet, what does Jesus say? He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To some people, Jesus is a problem because he makes union between the world religions impossible. They say, wouldn't it just be nice if all the world religions get along, if they could just decide, you know what, we all believe in love, so let's just love. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, all the religions believe basically the same thing anyways? First of all, false. But second of all, what happens if you take Jesus out of Christian faith? You lose the Christian faith. It doesn't exist anymore. You can't do it, and so it remains this offensive thing. Some people say that the incarnation, that's Jesus coming to earth as a child, that the incarnation and the crucifixion and the resurrection, that all these things are fanciful fairy tales. And that they were good and that they held meeting back in the day. But nowadays, I mean, come on, Jesus was a guy, sure, but wasn't he just a nice guy? Did he really die? Did he really rise again? Do we really need to believe these things? And others see Jesus as just one more offense in a long string of the patriarchal society that we're trying to fight against, that he is someone that stands for oppression. And they say, look at all the times that the Christian faith has oppressed people, not understanding that the Christian faith is revolutionary. And that long before the Christian faith was on this place, the world was a much worse place. And that Christian hope, Christian love, Christian charity has changed the world to something better. See, when we look at the person of Jesus, we are pressured to make him into something that he's not. And I think oftentimes, I know that people come to me and they think that this is something new. They say, yeah, the world that we live in, it's such a difficult place. I mean, no other time in history has anyone ever tried to change this stuff. Have people stood against Jesus and said that they don't like who Jesus is? But listen, that's not true. Throughout history, consistently, people have tried to change who Jesus is. Constantly. Even back at the beginning of the Christian faith, people have been trying to change who Jesus is. And so last week we started this series called Love and Truth on the book 2 John. John, being a disciple of Jesus, the disciple who was loved, wrote this letter to a church that was going through some tough stuff. And he highlights two principles, the first one being love and the second one being truth. Now, why does he talk about truth? He talks about it because problems. See, the popular voices in the Greek academy and in the marketplace, they refused to accept that Jesus could be both God and human. Because in their logic, in their worldview, the body was evil. The body kept you from being able to do anything good. Every bad thing that you ever did was because of this nasty flesh you had. So the idea that God could come in human flesh was this offensive, despicable idea to some of these people. And so they said, well, you know what? No, Jesus was God, sure. But he was just pretending to be human. He just made it look like he was human, but he wasn't actually human. And so John stood in the gap and he encouraged his church not to fall prey to these falsehoods about Jesus. Let's read in the book of 2 John. If you've got a mobile device here today, you can go ahead and go to our website, abundantsprings.church. Go to the notes page, and you'll be able to follow along with our message there and read along, or we'll have it on the screen behind us here today. 2 John, the elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing to you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God that cares about us so deeply that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, be born and to live for us so that we could have life. Today, God, as we talk about this concept of truth, I don't know if there's people here today that will be offended by it or if everyone here is just going to be right on board and giving amens and all of that, Lord, but whatever it is, I just ask that you will open our hearts to receive what you have to say to us today and that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. See, what John is doing in this letter is he is warning his churches of the dangers of talking about a Jesus who is other than who Jesus is, who is other than who Jesus himself said that he is. In fact, John goes so far as to say this is a salvation issue to deny that Jesus is God in the flesh. He calls them wicked, those who would say these things. And it's not just an aspect of, well, I can believe what I want to believe, because if you begin, like these teachers, to share it with others, then what are you doing? But you're beginning to try to lead other people astray away from the right things. But how can you know what's true? Things that we're told about Jesus, they often sound really good, don't they? Jesus was a really good man. You're not going to be able to live up to his standard. He didn't die on a cross. Like, just follow as well as you can the commands that he gave you, but just relax. Or, well, you know what? Yeah, okay, so there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, that's all. Can't we just combine them all into just one person? You know, you say that they're one God, but can't we just have one person who takes on these different forms instead? Wouldn't that be okay? Can't he just be God pretending to be man or someone that did good things, but just one? Can't he not be the only way to a relationship with God? Can't there be more than one way? Can't following Jesus just be about love but not about obedience? Couldn't that be what it is? But the answer to all of those things, John says, is no. He says those things aren't the truth. He says it's wicked to propagate those things, to talk about those things and say this is the way that it is when it's not. Here's what we learn today. Falsehood says Jesus is whom I want him to be. Truth says he is whom the Bible has revealed to me. If you're taking notes today, why don't you write that down? Falsehood says Jesus is whom I want him to be. Truth says he is whom the Bible has revealed to me. See, if you have a viewpoint of Jesus and then you go back to the Bible and suddenly you realize the Bible says something different, guess who's wrong? Because falsehood says Jesus is who I want him to be, but truth says he is whom the Bible has revealed to me. Truth is more about sincerity, more than sincerity of belief. It's about believing what's right. Truth is about more than sincerity of belief. It's about believing what is right. It doesn't matter how much you believe something if it is wrong. Guess what? It's still wrong. You can believe the earth is flat all you want and panic when people begin to say that they're flying overseas. Oh, but you're going to fall off. But at the end of the day, you know what? It doesn't matter how sincerely you believe that, you're wrong. Truth is about more than sincerity. What is right? George Washington, the former president of the United States, died December 14th, 1799, because his physician lacked the truth. He had been out riding his horse the day before and had caught a little bit of a chill, and as he went to bed, he woke up and didn't like the way that he felt, so his wife called the doctor in. And the doctor examined him and prescribed that he be bled. And so they took one pint of blood, and his condition didn't improve, and so they took another pint of blood. And the doctor noted that, well, he's not getting better. In fact, he's getting weaker. And the next day, George Washington died. Nowadays, after reading about the symptoms that he had, they have postulated that, in fact, he had strep throat. But the physician whom they called, who was actually the physician who was in charge of one of the most prominent medical schools, the University of Virginia Medical School, he was so convinced that bleeding was the way to solve the problem that he did it. Do you know what they say that George Washington died of? Lack of blood. So his physician, so sincerely believing what he thought was the right course of action was true, was right, was wrong. See, it doesn't matter how sincerely you believe it. Both physical things and spiritual things, you can have the most sincere belief, but if it is not belief in what is right, then it is not true. It doesn't make it any truer just to believe a lot. Another thing that we learn is that you need both truth and love. See, John doesn't say that, hey, those guys, they're teaching false things, and so truth needs to be preached, and falsehood shouldn't, so don't let them say to you the end. What's he start by talking about? We talked about last week. He says, love one another. Care for each other. He says you need love and you need truth. See, too often, people who have truth give their truth in very unloving ways. John Stott said that truth without love is too hard, and love without truth is too soft. What do you think he meant by that? Here's what I think. Too often as Christians, we say the truth, and we're right. And you heathen, pagan scum, God's going to judge you. Where's the love in that? On the flip side, side nowadays, we like to say, yeah, we've got the truth, but you know, it's possible that even though God himself said that this is the only way to come to him, you know what, God's a loving God, and so he had to provide other ways for people to come to him, even though he did this magnificent thing to bring us to him. I mean, yeah, you do whatever you want, and it's okay. God's okay with it. See, we can go so far into love that we lack truth, or we can go so far into the truth without love that we turn people off because they think that we hate them, when really what we need is truth and love. What we also find is that the truth about Jesus and his love is found in the Bible. That's why we said the falsehood says that Jesus is whom I want him to be. Whereas truth says that he is whom the Bible has revealed to me. See, the sad reality is that Christians nowadays know almost nothing about the Bible. Statistically speaking, most atheists and people from other religions know more about the Bible than the average Christian does. They have read it more times than the average Christian has. They can recall to mind principles of the Bible more easily than the majority of Christians can. So the next time you meet a Muslim, it's possible that he might know more about your own basis of truth than you do. He may not believe it, but he knows it. Next time you meet an atheist, someone who says that I don't even believe God exists, this is just a bunch of bleepity bleep. He may know more about your Bible than you do. That's the reality nowadays. Let me bring this a little bit more personally. When's the last time that you read one entire chapter in one sitting of the Bible? One chapter. When's the last time that you read the entire New Testament? Or the entire Bible? When's the last time that you actually started dedicating time to read and to really know what the Bible says? How are you going to recognize the lies that are placed in front of you if you're never around the truth? Because each and every one of us is spending life out there surrounded by alternative ideas. If you pick up a book, you pick up a magazine, you turn on your TV, you walk outside and you're eating food at a restaurant and you overhear things. The way that you are marketed to it all is building into a world view. And the fact of the matter is that if you're not spending time with God, if you're not spending time learning about the truth that he talks about, you may think that it's fine because at least I'm getting there every once in a while. You know, my devotional paragraph is really good. How does that counter everything else that you're exposed to? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't watch movies, read any books that are Christian or anything like that. I'm not saying that we cut ourselves off from the world and become people that are out of touch and have no idea what's going on and can't speak into people's lives. But what I'm saying is that maybe, just maybe, we're a little bit out of proportion. Maybe, just maybe, we're not spending enough time learning what God says, what the truth of the matter is. Remember, falsehood says Jesus is whom I want him to be. Truth says he is whom the Bible has revealed to me. And so my question to you today is, how well do you know the truth? Wouldn't it be amazing if when we were faced with a challenge, Holy Spirit could just plumb the depths of the scripture of the Bible that we have read and bring it to the forefront so that we could utilize that accurately to speak into the situation? Wouldn't it be powerful to be informed and challenged and renewed by God each and every day? Wouldn't it change the way that we live day by day by day if we were intimately familiar with who Jesus Christ has said that he is? Falsehood says Jesus is whom I want. The truth says he is whom the Bible has revealed to me. And listen, I fail sometimes at this whole thing too. There's times where good intentions say, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read my Bible today. One day turns into another day, doesn't it? You all familiar with how this works? I'll do it tomorrow then. And so tomorrow comes along and you stayed up too late and now you're really tired. And so you don't quite get up in the morning and you look at it on the bedside table, your Bible, and you just, but I got to get to work. And so off you go and it just becomes this pattern. But can I tell you that if you fall, just get back up again and try again. And that as you begin to stick with it, it becomes easier and easier and easier. Remember, truth comes from God's word. And so here's what I want you to do this morning when you go from this place. If you're not currently in some kind of routine where you're reading a good portion of the Bible every day, and I don't know where to start, or it just seems like so much work. When you leave this place today, I want you to take one of the free Our Daily Bread devotionals that we've got. We've got them on the back chair there. We've got them on the table. We had them on the back chair. They're back there. Grab one of them. Take them with you. But here's what I want to say. Don't just read the devotional. Don't just read the devotional. In it, it gives you a section, a Bible passage to read. At least read that. Even better, if you can bring yourself to follow along with the Bible in a year reading plan. Challenge yourself. Get to know what it says. It'll give you everything right there and allow that to be just your easy thing. Pick it up, pick your Bible up, and spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes learning what God has said. You say, but Pastor Stephen, every time I start, I hit Leviticus and I get really tired. First of all, Leviticus is awesome, okay? I know that it's only us, like, pastorly nerds and academics that think that Leviticus is an awesome book, but it is. But even then, let me allay your ears. In that, you're doing five chapters of Leviticus. I'm going to say, here's a chapter of Leviticus and here's some New Testament. So don't worry, you can make it through it. But it's important that we know what it says. So that's my challenge to you today, is that you do that. And listen, if you don't have a Bible, you've got a mobile device, download the free YouVersion Bible app. If you don't know what Bible translation to use and you're having a hard time getting into reading the Bible, try the New Living Translation. Nice and easy. It's a fun translation to read. Or stick with whatever it is that you're comfortable with. If you don't have a mobile device and you don't have a Bible, talk to me afterwards. We'll put one in your hand because this is so important that you spend time learning what the Bible says about what is true. So make sure when you leave today that you don't forget your copy of the Our Daily Bread. And if you need a Bible, talk to me. Will you join me in prayer today? Lord, I know that this message has been a little bit of a different one for people, Lord, but I ask that it won't be discounted. Lord, that they won't just be saying, oh yeah, there's the pastor again trying to get me to read that book. They'll understand that the book is precious and it's full of your truth, and that when we follow your son Jesus, that there should be something in us that just desires fully to read and to know you more. So God, today, just to willingness to block out time to read your word. And I ask that when we inevitably fail at times, that we will not give up, but that we'll get back up and that we'll just begin from the day that we're on and keep on going forward. And that in that time, in that dedication to reading your word, to learn more about you, that you will meet us in that place and that we will learn great things about ourselves and about you. Give us perseverance to go through those times when we feel like it's not doing anything. And help us to really remember those moments when your Holy Spirit speaks through the words of the Bible deeply into our own souls.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you, but the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes from a true relationship with their Creator. So, God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship. I'd love to help you with that, so if you made that decision today, please send me an email to pastor@abundantsprings.church. That's P-A-S-T-O-R at abundantsprings.church, and I'll be sure to follow up with you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.